Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Mike Lindell. He is the inventor and CEO of MyPillow. And I'm not here to sell pillows, folks, but I love it when we have the opportunity to talk with somebody whose life has been radically changed by Jesus Christ. And so it is in that regard that I contacted Mike, or had my assistant contact his assistant. The way it worked out, I ordered one of the MyPillows, and I actually got a second one for free. And when the product came, there was a scripture inside from the book of Romans. Now, that caught my attention. So I called the MyPillow people, and I said, hey, I got this scripture inside there. Is this something you do in all the pillows you send out? The lady was very nice. She said, yes, it is. That's something that Mike wants in our product. When we send it out to people, we enclose a scripture. I said, that is wonderful. I would love to know more about his story. And she launched into a wonderful testimony about what it is to work there at his company. Now, Mike and I have never talked before. We prayed just before we started recording. But Mike, I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on the broadcast, and secondly, for seeking to use your company as a platform where you can share with others the hope that you have found in Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on your show. It's been an amazing transformation, let me tell you.
Now, you have not always been a business tycoon. Is that safe to say?
That is very safe to say.
I read that for a long time you suffered from a lack of self-esteem, and that you believe this goes back to your parents' divorce when you were 7 years old. Is that right?
Yes. You know, I look back now. I'm actually writing a book, but I look back. I didn't know this before that I had this. At 7 years old, my parents got divorced, and I was put into a new school in second grade, and mm-hmm. I had this like unworthiness spirit, I look back, or fear of rejection.
Yep.
And I would either show off or I was very shy.
Yeah.
It was extreme opposites. You know, I would be, if there were strangers, I would be even, and this went all the way through my, into adult, you know, growing mm-hmm. up. And that's why, when I first did cocaine, I got it, you know, I go, wow, I can talk to people now, you know.
Well,
it was very much a big part of how I became addicted.
Well, and I appreciate the fact that in what I have read about you since we asked you to be on the show, you're very open and honest about the fact that you had a serious drug problem, didn't you?
Yeah, and, you know, I was addicted to cocaine for about 20 years, very functioning addict.
Yeah.
And raised, we had four kids. I got married in 1987, and it was always an entrepreneur though. And I ended up getting a small bar in our, not too far from my hometown. And mm-hmm. I had that bar for 13 years,
mm-hmm.
not a good place for an addict.
And, yeah.
But we were still very, you know, we had four kids and we were very, like I say, my wife at the time, she always said, you know, what do the neighbors think of us? You know, we have, you know, she would get all these kind of paranoia. I said, well, they send their kids over here all the time. We were kind of like the ones they would think, you know, they'd never end up worse. But they, that all changed to crack cocaine now in the early 2000s. And mm-hmm. when I got into crack cocaine, I couldn't, you know, I wasn't as functioning as addict. I was, I guess I still was, but it was, got into crack. I got, and then there was paranoia that went along with it, and all these things. And once I spent a year and a half inventing my pillow, and I sold my bars. I didn't want to, but at the time it seemed just devastating, and I had to sell them on it, and I lost basically everything. I had a little bit of money from them, and I dove into this My Pillow, and this I kept these ideas that I believe now are a dream from God, and I kept getting them. I would get, and by the way, when I was addicted too, I would be in crack, you know, with crack house or after the bar closed, and I'd be telling my friends, "Hey, we need to quit this," and I'd be talking about, you know, things in the Bible that I'd read when I'd been in jail in the 80s, and stuff that I had learned growing up in church, and they would quit that day and find Jesus, or at least quit their, you know, their addictions forever. And I go, "What did I say? You know, like, what did I do?" And people said that, you know, I look back now, and it's just that's what I wanted. I was searching for that, and being able to talk about it and keep talking about it. It was something I longed for. But I finally got this pillow invented, and I had put all my, you know, basically just dove into it, and it was completely broke, and I was turned down everywhere. And I ended up mortgaging our house and just to buy Christmas presents and do a kiosk. Mm-hmm. Someone said, "Mike, why don't you do a kiosk?" I said, "How do you spell that?" I did the kiosk, and then we got into a guy that had bought one at the kiosk. It didn't do very well, but he had bought one. He said, "This pillow changed my life. It created a miracle in my life." And I had only given out my number to one person there, because once again, I couldn't work at the kiosk. Mm-hmm. I couldn't talk to people.
Yeah. You were just too shy.
I was too shy. You can't get rejected if you don't talk to people.
Ah.
I lived in Las Vegas once for about 2 months back in the day, and I never talked to a soul the whole time I was there. I didn't get to know anyone. So you can't get rejected if you don't talk to people. I think a lot of people have that.
Yeah.
What I found out, and after this guy had got, you know, had called me up and said, "Are you the guy who invented this pillow here in Minnesota?" I realized I'd only been to that kiosk maybe one day, and the guy came up and said, "Hey, do you have a business card?" I said, "Oh, I'm all out," and I just wrote the number on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Now, that's the only number I handed out. And this guy happened to call in January after I'm going, "How do I support my family now?"
Yeah.
The kiosk didn't work well. And it was a divine appointment. He called up and he said, "You know, this pillow changed my life. It created a miracle in my life. And I run the Minneapolis Home and Garden Show. Would you like a spot there?" And I said, "Sure." Well, I went into the Minneapolis Home and Garden Show, and an interesting thing happened. I could be behind. I set up the booth then, and by having a table in front of me, I had this. I was able to talk to people without needing any drugs. I could actually talk to people because they're coming up to me with an agenda. To be able to talk to it, and I was so passionate about helping people. So it was kind of strange because I would leave behind that booth. I'd go out. I was also addicted to cigarettes at the time. I'd go out to smoke a cigarette. I wouldn't be by the smokers. I'd be over by myself. Mm-hmm. Someone would come over and ask me. Somebody said, "Hey, I got to get back in there."
Yeah.
But it was huge. I did great, and it got noticed by the State Fair in Minnesota, and I applied there. We got in, and for 6 or 7 years then, I did shows on the road, but all kinds of adversity happened I had people trying to take the company. I had my own addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost, we were actually making the pillow we were labeling them in our living room then.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to nothing, and my wife couldn't take it anymore. And she left me, the middle of the night. We were losing our house.
Mm.
And that was in 2007. So we got a divorce after 20 years.
Mm.
And these guys were taking the company. They had, it was some pretty dark days. And then in 2008, the drug dealers actually did an intervention on me. I had been up for 14 days, and they did this intervention. I was in downtown Minneapolis, in the worst part of Minneapolis, and they did this intervention. And the one guy, to make a long story short, I come back upstairs at 2 in the morning, And he says, how'd that work out for you? They had cut me off everywhere in the streets.
Huh.
And he said, he goes, you know, he says, you made a promise to us that someday that you would come back and you're going to help us all in the inner cities. And that God, the pillow is just a big platform for God. And he says, we're not going to let you die on you, you know, because I had been out for 14 days. And,
yeah.
So that was very prophetic. And then the next December, I still didn't quit then. It was December of 2008. And my friend came to me. And now he was my equal. We had both started cocaine at the same time, mm-hmm. both turned to crack at the same time. Mm. But he had found Jesus 3 years earlier.
Praise God.
He had quit. And he came to me out of the blue. I was in with, you know, had nothing left. And he says, yeah, Mike, he came out. I hadn't seen him in a year. And I said, Dick, what are you doing here? He says, well, he goes, the Lord led me here. He said, what's going on? And I said, well, as long as you're here, I got some questions for you. So I asked him some questions. Is it boring? He says, no, man, it ain't boring. But he's asking me these different, I'm able to ask him questions that only he could answer.
Yes.
Because he was my equal.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I quit on January 16, 2009. And where there was nothing left, but I knew that with God, I made a deal with God. I said, okay, God, if I wake up in the morning and never have the desire for all these addictions or all these drugs and alcohol and cigarettes again, I'll do this platform thing. You know, because I knew that God had given me this platform. And it was kind of like, and I knew one more day that went by, that was going to be gone forever.
Yes.
But I did. I woke up the next day, and now this wasn't a complete surrender. I woke up and it was gone. The addictions were gone. And my sister, I was living with her. I went to her place, and she had told me that she was very close to Jesus. And she says, you know, this is, you're going to get a lot. You need to pray for favor and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, I'm with these guys. They were taking my company, and these other guys were taking my company, and I was with these guys to borrow money, and they were all in suits. I walked in. It was a CFO, a CIEIO, all these Cs, and I really was afraid to talk to them with my fear of rejection. But
yeah.
I went in there with a pillow and went in to borrow money, and I said, you know, I said, these guys are taking my company. I said, I want to do these. I need to borrow $30,000 for fabric and all this stuff. And I used to be a crack cocaine addict. And I'm telling him this story. And he goes, the one CFO guy said, when did you quit crack? And I said, last Thursday. But I ended up getting that. Four of them left the room. And they ended up getting the loan and paid them back within a few months.
That's tremendous.
But that was the start of a long, all this stuff to his favor did happen. I was getting my company back and all these things. And then finally in the summer of 2011, I said, you know what, if no box stores will take me, I'm going to do an infomercial. And I told my friends and family, let's pool our money and we'll do a real infomercial with a real audience and just a friend of mine. And I wanted to do it just like I did at the shows.
Mm-hmm.
The night before, the producer texted the other guy. He said, we were doing our reads, and he said, this guy's the worst guy I've ever seen. He's never going to make it in TV. and I said, but he was kind of right. The next day I went to do the infomercial, and my first line took 9 takes.
Oh,
and he said, put a table in front of him and throw away the teleprompter. We did that, and it was the number one. I went from 5 employees to 540 days. It was the number one infomercial in the world by the end of December.
It's tremendous.
October 7, 2011. But to finish the story there, we got up until by 2014, you know, my pillow took in all this money, but by the summer of 2014, I was within 2 days of going under.
Mm.
I had fell away from what, you know, God given me the platform. I had got distracted, done a lot of other things,
mm-hmm.
made a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I met this gal in the summer of 2014, Kendra, and she says, and I seen she had something I didn't have. She mm-hmm. had a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big thing to me. She's talking to me. She goes, you need to pray. We prayed, and I kept longing for that. And anyway, we we did a commercial then in the fall of 2014 when we put me in it, the short form commercial, and mm-hmm. they said, and I didn't want to do it. I said, you know, I'm not good at it. I'm not, you know, once again, my unworthiness spirit, you know, mm-hmm. and, they said, no, Mike, you need to do it. And I, and this gal and her company, and I did it. And we started coming back, and we came back. And since that time, we know we're doing all our own commercials and stuff. But you get up until, you know, I still didn't have that relationship. And I knew this platform, this huge platform that God had given me, you know, I just kept going, I wanted what Kendra had, and I couldn't get there. I mm-hmm. wanted to have this, you know, I wore my cross on TV, and like you say, I put Bible verses in all the pillows, and, you know, I'm wanting to get this relationship. I wanted to be able to someday talk about Jesus the same way I did a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And it got up into, then things started happening. When people look at their own lives and you see, like, this is a one in a million, this is a one in a billion, mm-hmm. and this is a one in a billion. When you add them together, when does it become a miracle? And in my life, I had over 14 near-death experiences. I had things happen to me. When my book comes out, you could pick any episode. You're going, wow, I would have surrendered right there to Jesus, the normal person. I was either incorrigible or it was blocked. I don't know what it was, but I... you know, Kendra and I, we kept on, and then things started happening that don't happen to, for me, instead of reactive things I would see happen, like I would always pray, God, get me out of this situation, and
yep.
I would get, you know, and he would help me and get through it. Well, and I look back now of how many times he carried me, but I started seeing things happen that I, like, for instance, and I was invited to the National Prayer Breakfast, and I was picked out of 12 people to pray with Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And this was right in the summer of 2015. I seen in a dream I'd be in the same room with Donald Trump. I'm going, what is that? You know,
mm-hmm.
Why is this? And then he announced he's running for president 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, and I was never political. I didn't know a liberal from a conservative, from a Democrat, from a Republican. They asked me the other day, did you used to be a Democrat? I said, no, I was a crack cocaine addict. You know? and for me, these miracles, that I know that it was, you know, it was God. And then all of a sudden, on February 18th of 2017, this is a little over a year ago, I went to a thing called the Drop Zone. It's actually for veterans, and, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like a retreat or whatever. And mm-hmm. I walked in there with hope. And I came out of there with Jesus. I surrendered.
Praise God.
It was the most amazing thing ever. Jesus showed up. I walked out of there, and now I'm going, wow, I can go out publicly, and I can talk about Jesus just like I did the pillow, even more so, that he's real, and this is it. And just a few months ago, I ended up speaking at U.S. Bank Stadium, where the Super Bowl was here in Minnesota, mm-hmm. to 50,000 people, leading them in prayer and telling my story. And this is, for me, it's like a fulfillment of coming to fruition what I've been praying for all along, is that relationship.
Amen. Mike, I want to emphasize a few of the things that you've shared. One is that you have spoken very freely, very candidly about your addiction, the fact that you were an addict for a long time, even though for quite a while you were a high-functioning addict. But
right.
Nevertheless, in time, it took its toll. Things got worse. That's the nature of addiction. And you wanted to get out of it. You wanted to change. You wanted. But the point at which you changed, began to really change in a dramatic way, was when, A, there was an intervention. Some people who wanted better for you cut you off from drugs. And that is an amazing, miraculous story right there. Dealers don't do interventions and cut off their customers. So, I mean, you know, that's a miracle right there. But you have a sister who loves the Lord. She was praying for you. She was trying to help you, and she was pointing you to Jesus and trying to get you to pray. Other people along the way prayed for you, pointed you to the Lord. you continued to get closer to God, excited about God, God's blessing, He's answering prayer. But looking back now, you realize that even in the midst of all this blessing, all these amazing answers to prayer, you still didn't know Jesus and have that personal relationship with Him that you have now. Is that right?
No, absolutely. And that, you know, what I really noticed, it was with when I met this, you know, the girlfriend now is Kendra in 2014. I'm going, okay. She goes, you need to get a, you know, Mike, you need to surrender to Jesus. And I'm going, amen. I believe in Jesus. I'm wearing my cross more than I'm putting it out there more than anybody ever. And, and she just kept telling me, and I kept seeing it in her.
Yes.
I could see it in her.
Praise God.
I could see the difference. I could see the Holy Spirit, you know,
yep.
or hear, you know, see how the Holy Spirit's guiding her. And the things that she would have me and the way we would pray even
mm-hmm.
to get, we, you know, now, you know, I'm very proactive in my prayers, and people need to know out there too that the, you know, when you pray, when people pray and they're not answered, it might not be God's will, but where's God's will? God's will is in the Word, you know, mm-hmm. and,
amen.
So to stay in the Word, you need to get, you know, you want to find God's will, read the Word.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and that's a big thing for me. That's, that I try to do, you know, every day. And, I just, you know, and plant seeds, you know, out there that, you know, people say, you know, to plant, when you talk about those dealers doing that intervention, I was their hope, which would, in effect, Jesus was their hope, but they seen it in me, the seeds that, you know, that when he says, well, you keep telling us God's is a big platform and you're going to come back someday and you'll be helping us and we don't want, you know, they believed it, you know, and they believed it because they seen something in me and they or something that was there. But for me to see, it was very frustrating when I'm walking around going, okay, I don't know how I can put it out there. I've been very vocal even early on, even when I was still addicted, I wore my cross all the time.
Yep.
You know, and I just, it's something I wanted and longed for. And I guess it's one of the, you know, the things, even though I was posing, and I wasn't really posing as far as I'm going to do things to show you that I'm a Christian and put it out there like that. It's just that I believed I was, and I
yeah.
kept trying to be a better one.
Yep.
But I didn't surrender. I
yes.
wasn't a full surrender.
I'm so grateful, Mike, that you've shared that, because again, there are a lot of people in churches, some of the people who are my favorite folks that I had the opportunity to pray with to receive Christ were already pastors. They were guys,
right.
you know, they were working full-time in ministry, and they didn't really know Jesus, but they were trying to
yeah.
do. It's like, you know, just tell me what I have to do. I'll do whatever I have to do. And what you got to
right.
do is say, I can't do this. Chuck
right.
Swindoll, a tremendous preacher, said three stages to the Christian life. The first is, you know, this is easy. The second is, this is hard. The third is, this is impossible. And then you're ready to start the Christian life. You got to come to the point where you realize, I can't do this. I can't save myself. I can't fix myself. I need
right.
a Savior. Jesus came to
Absolutely.
Seek and to save that which was lost. And
Absolutely.
Jesus reached down and rescued Mike Lindell. Mike didn't pull himself up
Amen.
By his bootstraps. He didn't fix himself. Jesus saved Mike. Jesus saved Jim Wood. Jesus is reaching out to you who are listening right now. If you are wondering, how can I get out of this mess? What am I going to do? What have I got to do? Mike said it right. Surrender. Quit trying to save yourself. Surrender. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to take control of your life. Get in the Word. If you want to know what He wants, get in the Word, like Mike said. See what the Bible says, because that's where you find out what God desires for you. And if you will say yes to Him, He will give you the power to say no to the sin. And folks, if you want help, we would be glad to hear from you. We're glad to have you call. If you want prayer, we're glad to pray for you. If you want some materials and resources to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, we are glad to hear from you. But Mike, I want to thank you for coming on the broadcast, and I want to thank you for humbly declaring your dependence on Jesus. May God bless you, my brother.
God bless you, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you, sir. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's Word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day-to-day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us. Help these children.